This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The economic and other disparities between residents of Milwaukee's Central City and other parts of the metro area are well known. The suburbs in particular show lower rates of poverty and incarceration and higher income, education, and home ownership than many parts of the Central City. That's especially true for one zip code.
For many, 53206 has become a metaphor for the challenges facing inner city residents, especially people of color. The area's high incarceration rate and low employment rate have attracted national and even international reporting. A study just out tries to quantify what it terms the ecosystem of disadvantage in 53206. Its author is Mark Levine, a professor emeritus of history, economic development, and urban studies at UW-Milwaukee, and he is with us in the studio to share what he and his team learned. Welcome back to the show.
It's always a pleasure, Mitch. Thanks.
The title of this report references concentrated disadvantage, but you also use a couple of terms within the report that I wanted to ask you about just to kind of get us talking. There's the term cumulative disadvantage and ecosystem of disadvantage. I guess talk about what you're getting at with each of those terms.
Yeah, lots of jargon in there. And they generally, I think, all point to the same phenomenon, but they sort of emphasize different aspects of it. I mean, when we talk about concentrated disadvantage, we're talking about a number of disadvantages that obviously we talk about in the study,
right,
in terms of earnings inequality, income inequality, poverty, unemployment, you know the drill, all sort of concentrated in a geographic space, spatial kind of disadvantage. When we talk about cumulative disadvantage, that also refers to that concentration, but it refers to sort of an accumulation of those disadvantages, both interacting with one another and over time. And later on in the study, when we talk about an ecosystem, that more or less references the same kind of phenomenon of interlocking or interconnected kinds of disadvantages that form a kind of an ecosystem, for lack of a better term, that characterizes the entire kind of socioeconomic phenomenon that are occurring in the neighborhood.
The idea you can't isolate poverty from education and education from, say, housing or employment or whatever.
Right. All of the factors sort of contribute to one another, and they create this concentration of disadvantage. And when we talk about the ecosystem, particularly in the report, when we discuss, for example, what the potential impact of improving education can be in various neighborhoods, we talk about the degree to which you have to look at that factor in the context of all of the other factors of what we're calling the ecosystem. So the ecosystem of the potential for somebody to get a job in a place like Waukesha County versus 53206 tend to be very different, no matter what the education levels of individuals would be.
Well, and so anyone who has followed the coverage of the challenges Milwaukee faces is probably familiar with the dire straits that 53206 in particular is in. But there were some surprises, even in a positive sense, that employment numbers were actually up.
I think the good news in the study is that since the depths of the Great Recession, things have improved in 53206 in a number of areas. As you referenced, the employment rate has gone up. The poverty rate has come down. Poverty rate for children has also come down. So there are a few areas where we can say the trend line has improved. That has to be put, obviously, in the context, and the context being that the depths of the Great Recession are the absolute worst. Coming up from there has not even, in most of those areas, brought 53206 back to where it was even in the year 2000, let alone when we get back into the 20th century. So the sort of the good news and the bad news is things have improved a little bit. The recovery has been trickling down. I'm absolutely certain that the work of many of the good organizations that are working hard on the ground in 53206 are having an impact, and that's certainly helping things. But the bottom line is the longer-term structural problems facing 53206 are still very real, and they are still creating conditions of the most dire kinds of poverty and joblessness.
And certainly the rate of improvement in 53206 in comparison to the rate of improvement elsewhere is significantly lower.
Yeah, the rate of improvement generally is slower, although the employment rate certainly has climbed percentage-wise, probably a little bit faster than the rest of the metropolitan area, but that's because the rate the base was so much lower to begin with. I mean, at the depths of the Great Recession, only 36% of all of the working age adults between the ages of 20 and 64 in 532-06 were employed. So that jumped to 47%. So that's about a, 35% increase. So that's pretty impressive. That's certainly better than lots of other areas. But it still means that fewer than half of the working age adults are employed. And that applies also to what we call the prime age working age adults between 25 and 54, when generally in a reasonably healthy labor market, you expect a very high percentage. In the suburbs, for example, in the 25 to 54 cohort, 90% are employed. In 532-06, it's 49%.
There are also a number of other discouraging signs in terms of employment, especially as educational attainment and employment intersect. How do those intersections compare with the other parts of the city and the metro area?
One of the most, I think, striking findings of the study is the degree to which education affects outcomes in various areas. We looked at employment, we looked at earnings of workers, we looked at household income, and we looked at poverty rates and looked at how education affected those. And one of the findings, which is of course not in the least bit surprising, was that education matters, so that the high school dropout in 532-06 is less likely to be employed than a college graduate living in 532-06. A high school dropout in 532-06 is likely to have lower household income than a college graduate or someone with some college or an associate's degree. So, as you move up the educational attainment ladder, economic outcomes improve. What we were, I think, particularly surprised to find was the degree to which, however, there were disparities when we controlled for education. So when we compared the outcomes for college graduates living in 532-06 versus a college graduate living, say, in Waukesha County, or a high school dropout in one jurisdiction versus high school dropout in another. So when we control for education, you find that, for example, the employment rate for a high school dropout in Waukesha County is almost three times the rate of a high school dropout in 532-06. And those disparities work as we go up and down the educational attainment ladder. But more strikingly, we saw disparities between, say, the employment rate or the poverty rate or the earnings of a high school dropout in a place like Waukesha County versus a college graduate or someone with just some college or an associate's degree, which is still, a higher form of education, living in 532-06. The poverty rate for a high school dropout in Waukesha County is about the same as for a college graduate living in 532-06. The earnings of a high school dropout living in Waukesha County are about the same as a college graduate living in 532-06. Employment rate in the Milwaukee suburbs as a whole for high school dropouts is about the same as for someone with some college in their educational attainment in 532-06. So education matters. But back to that earlier point when you asked about the ecosystem, there's an ecosystem of disadvantage. Is it where jobs are? Is it because there's racial discrimination? Is it because of the cumulative disadvantages, less health care available, that there's certainly more disability employment disability in 532-06? All of those factors may affect the degree to which education can improve outcomes, but it's still nonetheless extraordinarily striking to see the disparity, for example, between the economic outcomes of a high school dropout or just a high school graduate in a place like Waukesha County or the Milwaukee suburbs generally, and more educated individuals living in 532-06.
And so with this in mind, it should probably not surprise anyone to find that, in general, the poverty rate in 532-06 circa 2017 far exceeds the rest of the area.
It's about seven times, I believe, the rate, or six times the rate of the metropolitan area as a whole and the suburban areas. The poverty rate in 532-06 is 42%. Again, it's an improvement from the depths of the Great Recession when it was 47%, although statistically, because there's an error margin there, it's unclear that there's a huge difference there. But let's say it's declined a little bit. But it's still much, much higher than the city as a whole. It's much, much higher, obviously, than the suburbs. Again, the children's poverty rate, which reached a shocking, and that's the only word for it, 66% two-thirds of the children living in 5-3-206 live below the poverty line at the depths of the Great Recession. That's come down to about 55%, but we're still talking about off-the-chart poverty rates.
Well, and along those lines, you studied something called intergenerational economic mobility. What does that concept mean, and how were you able to study that?
Intergenerational economic mobility refers to the degree to which you're able to do better than your parents did. So how did the children growing up in poor households in 5-3-206 or throughout the rest of the metropolitan area do as they reached adulthood? Did they move to a higher economic bracket? Were their incomes higher than their parents? Or were they in a better, technically we call it the percentile of the income distribution? So if they were born and raised in a family in the 25th percentile, which would be the low end of the income distribution, when they reached young adulthood, what percentile did they reach? We got access to very generously shared a database from the Harvard-based Equality of Opportunity Project, which has an extraordinary big database of Internal Revenue Service data that they've linked with Census Bureau data that they were able to get. All the individuals in it are de-identified, so there's no confidentiality breach at all. But from that data, you're able to track how children who grew up in various areas in the late 1970s and the early 1980s fared as adults in the middle part of the 2010s. So I think the income data that we have is for 2014, 2015. And so these are children who were born between 1978 and 83, and we're seeing what their condition is in 2014 and 2015. We found for black males growing up in 5-3-206, born again into the 25th percentile, low end of the income distribution in the late 70s or early 80s, that by the time they reached adulthood, young adulthood, in 2014, 2015, they were in the 25th percentile. They had not achieved any intergenerational mobility. For white males, however, again, starting off in the same economic situation, starting off in the 25th percentile, but growing up in different ecosystems, the ecosystem, for example, of Waukesha County, which has more manufacturing job growth, which created greater opportunities certainly in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s.
Right, not the same kind of deindustrialization.
Precisely. You know, I mean, later on there is deindustrialization, yep. But the early movement of manufacturing jobs in Milwaukee was in fact from the central city to places like Waukesha, to New Berlin, and that sort of thing. So growing up there, some of the lower income and less educated youth in places like Waukesha County could achieve some mobility so that those white males growing up in the Milwaukee suburbs and Waukesha in particular had risen from the 25th percentile to the 45th percentile. For females, there was a little more mobility for African Americans, but generally much, much less than, again, for whites. You know, what this tells us is clearly there are racial disparities in terms of economic mobility, the ability to climb the economic ladder. It also tells us that white poverty and black poverty are different. That growing up in concentrated poverty neighborhoods, which is where a large number of the African American poor grow up, is very different than growing up, even if you're poor, even if your household is poor, in an area where the schools are better, where there are more job opportunities, where there's less crime, and where poverty isn't as concentrated geographically in a neighborhood.
Finally, you look at incarceration rates and discover that this is still a significant issue in 5-3-206, but apparently not quite to the level of hyperbole that's commonly used.
There's been a substantial amount of hyperbole about what is, in fact, a very, very serious problem. So let's start out by saying there's no gainsaying whatsoever the fact that mass incarceration is a major scourge afflicting 5-3-206 and, in fact, the African-American community generally in Milwaukee. That said, for a variety of reasons, there's been a bit of, I think, exaggeration of the condition. There was a documentary which referred to 5-3-206 as the most incarcerated zip code in America. So we wanted to see if there was any data that would give us some insight in that. And one of the things we found out is how difficult it is to get really accurate, complete, usable data on incarceration for just Wisconsin and Milwaukee and for neighborhoods like 5-3-206, let alone across the country. Again, we found a couple of interesting databases, one of which was, again, the Harvard Equality of Opportunity Project. Another one was data that the Brookings Institution has collected, which, again, looks at how children growing up in the late 70s and early 80s were faring in terms of whether they were incarcerated by 2010, 2012, 2014. The Brookings Project had data on zip codes. So we looked at that, and 53206 was not anywhere near the top. If you want to know the most incarcerated zip code in America, it's Nashville 37228, where almost 30% of males growing up in that zip code in the 70s and early 80s by 2010 ended up in prison, which is an extraordinary rate. The other database, again, was the Harvard base, which let us look at census tracts. And we looked at all of the census tracts within 53206 to see, again, what the incarceration rate was of children who grew up in 53206 in the late 70s and early 80s. And we found it ranged from about a low of 10% in some census tracts to about 35% in the worst. Again, a terrible incarceration rate. Clearly, we have a major problem, but we found that about 3,500 other census tracts in the country that had higher incarceration rates. So by this measure, and this is just one way of measuring it, you know, we can say that the incarceration rate in 53206 is terrible, but it's not certainly the worst in the United States. What we also did was collect data to just get a snapshot of today and say, you know, what is the percentage of black males at various ages in 53206 who are either incarcerated or under the supervision of the State Department of Corrections. It's a very complicated issue to get the third category, which is ex-offenders who are off paper, who are not showing because they're off paper, so we don't have, you know, data on them. And what we found was, as I think is generally sort of known in the community, very, very high incarceration rates for black males between 20 and 64, about a quarter are either incarcerated or are under the active supervision of the Department of Corrections between the ages of 25 and 34 in 53206, over 40%, about 42%. Again, those are a little bit lower than some of the numbers that are put out, but they're not extraordinarily lower. But again, we can't compare that to other zip codes across the country. But the expectation is that there are going to be a lot of zip codes, and this is a very sad expectation, that are at least at that level or if not higher.
Well, and as a researcher, is you know, the listicle, the ranking an enemy?
Yeah. I mean, it distorts and it creates a sort of a pseudo sort of scientific, or, you know, this is the worst, this is the second worst. I mean, what you want to know is, you know, what the general rates are of anything. And what does that tell you? What does that measurement tell you about conditions in the neighborhood? So whether, and I think this is a very important point to underscore, whether 53206 is the most incarcerated zip code in the United States or if it's the 250th most incarcerated, it's still a zip code that has much, much too high a level of mass incarceration. And that level of mass incarceration is one of the integral elements of the cumulative disadvantages that we outline in the report. It's a fundamental feature of this ecosystem of disadvantage that creates the inequalities that we document in employment, in earnings, in income, in housing, and the like.
Well, and as an ecosystem, it seems like the message here is that this is not like a chain of dominoes. There's not one domino you can pull out that stops all this stuff from happening.
No, quite the contrary. I mean, you clearly need a comprehensive approach. I mean, this is not a study that was then geared to sort of putting out a list of what policy solutions are out there. Certainly over the last three decades that I've been working on these issues in Milwaukee, it's a long time, I've certainly put out, you know, some ideas that I think would make sense. But I think simply studying at this granular level the interaction and the accumulation of all of these disadvantages gives us a sense of what the key factors are, and the fact that you can't just sort of pick one and say, okay, we're going to deal with housing here and that's going to then take care of the employment situation, or the other way around, saying, you know, it's jobs, jobs, jobs. Well, yes, it is, but creating jobs is not as simple as it appears just by sort of saying the slogan jobs, 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 given the impact of incarceration, given the disinvestment of businesses from the central city. I mean, you can go down the list of various issues. So and by saying that these are cumulative, I certainly would hope that someone doesn't say, well, let's just throw up our hands. We can't do anything about it. But it means that we have to obviously have a holistic, comprehensive approach to these issues.
Mark Levine, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Mitch.
Mark Levine is a professor emeritus of history, economic development, and urban studies at UW-Milwaukee. He's the author of a new study published by the UWM Center for Economic Development. It's called Milwaukee 53206, The Anatomy of Concentrated Disadvantage in an Inner-City Neighborhood, 2000 to 2017. You'll find a link to it from WUWM.com.